Blog Talk Radio.
Transmission problem resolved. At least I hope so. A lot of people are concerned about this growing number of unlicensed, uninsured, and illegal alien drivers who don't even have driver's licenses in their own home country and yet demand that their advocacy groups who support special rights, privileges, and exemptions for illegals, that these people have the right to get driver's licenses, even though they can't drive, haven't taken driver training, and certainly can't afford insurance. So when they get in an accident, guess who subsidizes them? You and me. And we've had a case here. Well, what's going on in New Mexico is the governor, which is a woman there, I think her name is Governor Martinez, she's opposing those in their legislature who want to provide, allow aliens to have driver's licenses. And of course, accompanying that is they're supposed to have auto insurance. But we find more and more of these illegals who are unlicensed even in their own country and get in auto accidents and flee the country. A lot of people don't know that if you try to sue somebody, even if it isn't an auto accident, try to sue somebody who's a foreign citizen and goes back to their home country, you want to attach jurisdiction or you want to publicized in the notices in your local papers where the person may have lived. You have to go through the U.S. State Department. It's very complicated. And we have the San Franciscan who's been a victim of an illegal alien who not only didn't have auto insurance and not only didn't have a license in her home country, Mexico, but tried to bribe her way out of it for $200. This goes on. But again, we Americans are being disenfranchised gradually in our own country by these subversives who want to tear this country apart, and they're doing a damn good job of it. Now, among the other things that's going on, we're finally realizing in San Francisco County and in California courts that there is corruption, and innocent people are being railroaded not for 1 or 2 years, but for 10, 15, 18. We're not only talking about Steve Mary. We just had a case reported in the San Francisco Chronicle, probably reported in the legal papers, of a black man, another black man, who was railroaded by two black cops, who knew there was perjured testimony and allowed it to go forward. They were in the courtroom when the perjured testimony was offered. And this
18 years in the California state prison system, and of course that cost the American and California taxpayers millions of dollars. $175,000 a year to house one of these prisoners, whether they're guilty of a crime or not. And Steve Harris is going on for 16 years. So this man, and I won't follow up the case, California prison system, rigged the Kangaroo Court situation, suing city, county, and San Francisco federal court. It's time people realize because somebody in the bar card doesn't make them infallible, ethical, competent, or honest. In another case, in Harry case, we had very unusual for the same jurors at least. In this case, when the case was resolved in federal court, where the state court did no jurisdiction, what happened was one of the judges released the names of the jurors. So we're looking into one of the jurors was an Iranian resident who was working on our nuclear program. A lot of questions about that topic. She was the end of service and the
ago, when I landed on your soil, I said to the people of the Philippines whence I came, I shall return. Tonight, I repeat those words. Shall return. Nothing is more certain than the ultimate reconquest and liberation from the enemy of those and adjacent lands. One of the great offensives of the war will, at the appropriate time, be launched for that purpose. With God's help, it should be decisive, not only of redemption, but of Japanese isolation from southern conquest and of Chinese restoration of Pacific Ocean communication.
That was General Douglas MacArthur when he landed in Australia. I think he landed in Brisbane, and I think he came across with the PG boats. My father's family had a connection to the MacArthur's, since part of my family is from the islands. But we'll get into that another day. Now, let's get into, I want to remember Jay Miller, who died earlier this year in first or second week of January. I didn't know this. I met him in 1968 at the Battle of Grant Park in the Democratic National Convention when Hubert Humphrey was nominated, very controversial Democratic Convention. Richard Daley discovered, or at least he said, that he had learned that Allen Ginsberg and that crowd were going to put LSD in the Chicago's drinking water. Need a lot of LSD. But anyway, the police was controversial. Incidentally, Chicago has held more presidential nominating conventions than any other city in the history of the United States. They've also, at one time, they had two conventions scheduled and occurred. Also, a controversial father of the most corrupt district attorney in recent history in California, a guy named Terrence K.O. Hallinan. His father was nominated at the old Coliseum in Chicago as the nominee for the Communist Party's president of the United States, nominated by the American Communist Party. Of course, he didn't win, but I find that very interesting. But Jay Miller, later in 1969, came to San Francisco to resuscitate the Northern California ACLU. One of the first cases that we had, because I worked with him, was that of getting Tokyo Rose Di Aquino, pardoned from President Ford. And I independently did research on that case. Lawyers tend to dominate the ACLU for better or for worse. For worse, a lot of the times, because egos are involved. And this ACLU, the national one now, has become, as someone described it, as the gay ACLU. They seem to be pushing these agendas. But anyway, we managed to get President Ford to grant pardon to Rose Di Aquino, who was railroaded into federal prison by this media scumbag, Walter Winchell. Winchell also lied about Al Capone. Al Capone had nothing, not Al Capone, but Elliot Ness, and the quote, Untouchables. It was a great piece of fiction. In fact, we watched it when I was at school in the late 50s and 60s. But it was an accountant named Elmer Irey, I-R-E-Y, who got a hold of Al Capone's books, and that's how the government made their income tax evasion case against Al Capone and put him away in Alcatraz. We'll put up a picture of Al Capone's cell at Alcatraz. It's one of the most popular sites on that island, and that's where a lot of people ask, where was Al Capone housed in the cell? And we'll put that up probably this week. We have about 140 videos assorted on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Jay Miller, we worked on a bunch of cases, and I also had me represent the ACLU at the Nixon pornography hearings here in San Francisco. And we also tried to get law students to volunteer to do research and investigation for proposed ACLU projects. Jay Miller was purged, or I guess he was discouraged, and went back to Illinois and became the head up until his death of the ACLU chapter in Illinois, headquartered in Chicago. And he died about 3 weeks ago, and I just found out about it. So I think we should be remembered for what he tried to do. Also, when Rose DiAquino was pardoned by President Ford, she came to Chicago and set up a Japanese import store called Toguri, which was her family name before she was married. The name Aquino is not connected to Benigno Aquino, the former assassinated president of the Philippines, or his wife Corazon Aquino, or the present Benjamin Jr. Aquino, but it was a Filipino, and he was never allowed to enter the United States. I never could understand. Maybe he knew something which could have been embarrassing if he opened his mouth. But as incidentally, I was in Asia as a correspondent when Benjamino Aquino was told not to come back to the Philippines, and he did it anyway. And as he got off the plane, he was assassinated on the tarmac at Manila International Airport. I was getting off the plane in Sydney, which was kind of very strange. When I was coming back from Perth, or no, from Adelaide, I went to Auckland, Sydney, Perth, Adelaide. I was coming back from Adelaide to Sydney on a weekend and to do a broadcast. And KAL, the Korean jet 007, was shot down over Sakhalin Island. Really strange trip for me, and strange correspondent gig. A lot of history. Anyway, let's get to the events and birthdays on this day, February 1st. The great philosopher René Descartes was born today, and he coined the phrase, "I think, therefore I am." And then if you remember Frankenstein, well, the woman that wrote it, Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley, sister of Shelley, she was born today. And this is a general who screwed up Stalingrad, Friedrich von Paulus. It's interesting. He was a real toady. He never held a command post or commanded troops in the field. He was a general. He went into Stalingrad. He had a chance to break out. He didn't break out. He rather disobey Hitler. And so Hitler decided, since no German field marshal had been captured, he named the field marshal to make a signal to von Paulus with suicide. But von Paulus was a Roman Catholic, and he committed suicide. He surrendered 100,000 survivors. Yamaha troops that went into captivity were sentenced to 25 years in prison. Siberian and Yulan, only 10,000 approximately in that number returned. Now, Von Paulus returned to Germany, but then East Germany died at 66 years old, 67. Today is also the birthday of, Buster Keaton. Joseph Francis. We have Hannah Hopper, who was lots of problems with Willa Parsons. Her son, Hopper, was a TV program.
Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack P or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
We'll be back Friday, so good night and go to our YouTube website, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.